Hey, everybody, it's Pastor Will. Welcome or welcome back to the Brazos Fellowship Podcast. Thank you for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. And man, what about this rain? It's crazy, isn't it? I thought that was coming this afternoon. Well, anyway, we're so glad you guys are here. And before I get started, I want to share with you a quick announcement about next weekend, which is Memorial Day, which we know is difficult for many for different reasons, but it is going to be a very special service here at Brazos Fellowship. We are going to have a special video testimony. It's actually a testimony I heard live just a few months ago at a leadership conference by Marcus Luttrell, author of Operation Red Wing, the book that was made into a movie, Lone Survivor, and maybe you're familiar with those. One of the most incredible stories I have ever heard anybody share. And we're going to be looking at that next week. I'm going to be sharing. We got permission from Marcus to be able to share that next weekend. And it's going to be a powerful story to really commemorate, to honor his buddies who are fallen, which is what that day's about, but also to be able to share this incredible story of rescue. That's really what it's about. And rescue, the story of rescue, has always been what God's been about all throughout history, is to rescue his people back to himself. And we're going to talk about that next weekend and how God continues to do that right down to this day for every single one of us. And so I want to encourage you to invite a friend, a family member, someone you work with, someone you live around, somebody you know that could be really impacted, maybe for all eternity, by this special service we're going to do next weekend. It's going to be an incredible weekend. You do not want to miss out on that next Sunday. So, enough said about next Sunday. Last week, we started this brand new series entitled Behind the Miracle. And we've been talking about the miracles of Jesus, kind of going chronologically through the Gospels, through the accounts of his life. And last week, if you missed that one, you can catch it online, brazosfellowship.com, under our messages. But this week, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Now, you may be wondering, now, why are we talking about miracles? Which is a perfectly good question to ask anytime we start a new series. What's the rationale? What's the reason? Why are we doing this? And for a couple of reasons. First of all, miracles are a lot more common than many of us think. As a matter of fact, in a recent national survey of the U.S., we found out that 2/5 of all Americans, it's about 38% of Americans, would say that they have had an experience in their life that can only be explained as a miracle. 38%. Now, let me just, that's a lot. Now, let me ask just here in this room, how many of you in this room would say that you've had at least one experience in your life that could only be explained as a miracle? How many? Would you mind raising your hand? Okay. Wow, that's more than 38% right here in this room. That's amazing. But if we take that number and kind of extrapolate that out, 38% of Americans, and let's say that they only had one miracle each. Well, that would be roughly 94,792,000 miracles just in this country alone. Now, I realize some of you may be a bit skeptical about that and saying, okay, well, but yes, we've got to also allow for people misinterpret events all the time. They think it's one way and it's really not that way. So let's be real generous to the skeptic for just a minute, okay? And let's say about roughly 99% of all of the claimed miracles in America were really just extraordinary coincidences, okay? So only 1% would still be roughly 1 million miracles just in the U.S. that have been witnessed by and experienced by people who are walking around and alive right now. Now, again, the skeptics push back from that and say, well, yes, but miracles are something that only kind of the completely uneducated kind of people would believe in. This was actually written in an article in a recent Skeptic magazine entry. The skeptics said, you know, this is just something uneducated people believe. But one of the most amazing stats I came across this week that said that 55% of physicians in the U.S. say that they have witnessed an incident in their practice that can only be explained as a miracle. 55% of physicians. Now, we can't say those people are uneducated, can we? If there's ever a group in our country that understands how the physiological, biological, mechanic work of our body works together, it's this group right here. And if there were some scientific / medical explanation to be able to get away from the miracle, they would be able to come up with it. But here we have the vast majority of physicians saying, there is something that happened in my practice as a result of prayer that was absolutely unexplainable from medical science. And all I can tell you is, it looked like divine intervention to me. It looked like a miracle to me. This is pretty astounding. There are far more miracles happening in our midst today than we realize. And this is really not a series to try to explain how do you put the recipe together to create more miracles in your own life. That's not what this is about. And I don't even feel like that was ever anything that Jesus taught. But what we are trying to do in this series is take a look at the miracles that Jesus actually performed and say, what did he and is he continuing to try to teach us through these amazing accounts? What was it he was hoping we would gain from understanding and experiencing these accounts together? And so that really brings us to the second reason why we're doing this series, that every miracle has a message for us. Every miracle does. And every miracle has a beautiful insight, a life-changing one, about how we relate to God, how we connect to him, how we trust him, how he wants us to live in light of our faith in him. And today is no different. As a matter of fact, the account that we're going to look at today, the second miracle, really gets at and answers the question, how do we grow mature faith? How do we grow mature faith? Now, whether you're someone who has been a Christian for years and years, and you feel like, I've, by God's grace, seen my faith mature quite a bit in the recent years. That's wonderful, but I bet you still have room to mature more. What is that next step that God would like to do in your life? Or maybe you're relatively young in your faith, and you really want to accelerate your growth in the Lord and spiritually. Today's going to speak to, what does that next step for you look like? Or maybe you're someone who's not even a Christian yet. You're someone just saying, I'm just coming because I got invited by a friend or a family member, and I'm just here, and I'm kind of curious, but I'm not really ready to jump into the deep end of the pool just yet. What is the next step for me? We're going to talk about what does that look like for every single one of us today, what that next step towards faith or mature faith looks like today. So in order to answer this question, I want us to take a look in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, last week we looked at the second chapter, so this is just two chapters later. The fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, starting with verse 46, and we're picking up with Jesus actually returning to the same region where he did the first miracle. And it says, as he being Jesus, traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned water into wine. There's our miracle from last week. And there was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. And when he had heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum and heal his son, who was about to die. Okay, we'll keep going. And Jesus asked, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous, let's say these highlighted words together, unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Now, let me pause for a second and give you a quick background on this story. This gentleman here is an official who is definitely employed by the Roman government, who was probably serving under Herod, who was the one who was over this region of the world working for the Roman government at that time. And here he comes, we're told, from the city of Capernaum, and he's traveled. We kind of hit some contextual clues that he probably came on foot from Capernaum all the way over to Cana to try to run into Jesus. This is about a 20-mile walk. He walks 20 miles to try to meet Jesus. He sees Jesus, and the way that he addresses Jesus is really interesting. He calls him Lord. Now, in that day, in that time, in that context of history, Jesus in terms of a governmental structure, would not have been the authority over this official. The official would have been the authority over Jesus. But he comes, he humbles himself, and he calls Jesus Lord. He submits himself to Jesus' authority and his sovereignty, his power, as if to say, if anybody can help me, it's you, Jesus. If anybody can call the shots on what's going to happen next with my son, it's you. I've come to surrender and ask for your help. This is so powerful. And when we come to this point in the story, what Jesus does next is really to challenge the man, wherever his faith was at that time, he challenges him to take the next step. Here's what it says. Then Jesus told him, I want you to go back home. Your son will live. And the man believed, let's say it together, and the man believed what Jesus said and started home. I want you to see that he believed the words of Jesus. He believed what he said, what he spoke, and he started home. Yet he trusted what Jesus said was true, and he acted on it. He actually put that belief into behavior. He started to live it out. Now, I'm going to go ahead and head back home. And this is so important for us to remember in terms of application in our own life. Because many times we tend to want to bring our difficulties, our frustrations, our problems to Jesus in prayer. And like the man started the conversation, Jesus, I've already got this figured out. You just need to come with me back to Capernaum and you lay hands on my son. You can fix him. You can heal him. But Jesus had a different plan. Sometimes we come to Jesus, we need to say, here's the issue, Jesus. Here's the problem. Here's the relationship issue. Here's the deal at work. Here's the deal with my kids or with my parents or with my friends or with whoever. Here's the conflict. Here's the problem. And then I'm going to trust you to do it your way and in your time. And that's what this official did that was so brilliant. Whatever you say, Jesus, you're the Lord, I'm not. Whatever you say, I'm going to submit to you, and I'm going to follow what you have to say. Brilliant. So he continues his journey home, and while the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. And he has and his entire household, what did they do? His household believed in Jesus. Now, this is a remarkable story. The faith didn't stay with the father. It spread throughout the entire family. So what I'd like to do is take a couple of minutes to talk about some interesting insights that we get from this account. And take just a minute to talk about the difference between shallow faith and mature faith. It's important to delineate these two. Now, here's the thing about shallow faith. Shallow faith always craves reassurance from physical and emotional experiences. Let me say it again. Shallow faith is constantly craving reassurances from physical and emotional experiences. See, shallow faith says, God, I want to believe. I feel like I can. I feel like I'm going to. But, God, I want to see a sign. Show me something amazing. Make it super clear. I hear sometimes you audibly speak to people. Speak to me. Let me have this experience. Move me. Make me feel something just emotionally, like, explode my mind with something, God. Let me feel something. Make it go off the charts. I'm going to ask for something, Lord, and you answer it immediately, and then I'll know. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, what shallow faith is. It's asking God, if you'll keep doing these tricks, these signs and wonders for me, then yes, I'll keep believing. The problem with that, as we're going to see in a minute, is that the moment that the signs and the wonders and the experiences and the cool stuff and the amazing over-the-top experiences begin to dissipate and dry up, then so does your faith. And Jesus tells us as much over in verse 48, back up in verse 48. He says, Will you never believe in me unless you, this is actually both of these yous are plural. It's like you all, he's not just talking to the official, he's talking to everybody who's staying there and everybody who would ever live, who would ever listen to this passage. And we would say here in Texas, not you all, we say y'all, right? Some of us would anyway. Will y'all never believe in me unless y'all see miraculous signs and wonders? Is that what that the kind of relationship that we have? He's kind of getting on to them. He's saying, listen, is this the way it works? As if to say that some of us tend to, and I've fallen into this category before too, some of us tend to treat our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ kind of like little kids learning to swim. Have you ever seen little kids? I've had three of my girls learn how to swim. Thankfully, I had help teaching them how to swim. But anyway, they get in the pool, and even once they kind of get the skills on how to swim, they like to stay in the part of the, you know, they kind of bounce. They're part of it where it's just like right here. It's not too deep. I can still touch. I can feel the bottom. There it is, nice and secure. But the goal is that you're teaching your kid how to swim, not so they'll stay in the shallow end, but that they can survive anywhere in the pool, that they can handle the deep end too. And so goes faith. Jesus, it's as if he's saying, I didn't give you this faith so that you would just stay in the shallow end where you can touch and you can feel and it's constantly, you feel good and everything seems to be like, yeah, affirming and reassuring. Everything's great. But there are times where he's going to say, come with me into the deep end and get ready because this is going to be scary. You won't be able to touch. And you're going to have to keep your eyes right here, and you're going to have to keep connected. And this is not the time to sever your time with me or to go further back from me because you don't feel me. This is the time to pull closer to me and to trust me like you never have before, because there are times, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've lived it, where the bottom drops out. You can't feel it anymore, and it's scary, and all you feel like is you're in dark, deep water. And you don't know when it's going to end, and you don't know how long it's going to last, and you don't know how bad it's going to hurt, but Jesus is with you, and he's saying, trust me. There may be not signs and wonders going on all around you right now, but you're okay. You can trust me, and I'm going to hold on to you. And we go through times like this, and may you be praying with me for those families in Santa Fe, Texas, because the bottom dropped out for them this weekend, for sure. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen. And we have to have faith that can survive moments like this. Jesus was constantly trying to get people who are his followers ready, because that's what happens. We live in a fallen world where things like that happen, not by God's choosing, but because he gives us choice. And in this life, it's, you know, evil's going to happen sometimes, but we have a God that can walk with us through it, and he will hear our prayers, and he will not abandon or leave us. And we can call out to him, and he'll hear us. And in those moments, you must do what you know is right, not what you feel. Because if you do what you feel, you will wreck your life. I see it all the time. People freak out. They get scared. They're starting to sink, and they lose it. And they stop their faith, and they stop everything until something good happens again. And they have that emotional experience, and then I'm back in it. So let me ask you, how do you bolster your faith when you start feeling that kind of vacant, cold, distant, the bottom drops out kind of feeling for you, where there's not warm emotions going on and I could just feel God's presence? And that's wonderful when that happens. Don't hear me downplay it. But what is it that you lean on? Is it a certain type of a worship experience, certain type of worship music, where it just moves you and you feel this incredible emotional? Again, I'm not trying to say that's bad at all. That's wonderful when it happens. Or a sermon that just stirs your heart and you're like, oh my gosh, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. And I hope that you hear those here. But there will be times when you don't. And your faith should not fluctuate according to those experiences. What do you do when you have those times going on? What do you lean on? God, answer my prayer. And if you don't, I'm out. I'm throwing in the towel. A lot of people live like that, saying, I want to stay consistent, but I don't feel God consistently. That's shallow faith. He's calling you into the deeper waters to trust even though you don't feel it in the moment. Another way to think about it is, faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. Because sometimes we inadvertently put our faith in those experiences rather than the God of the experience. We put our faith in the emotion of the moment or the sign or the wonder instead of the God of the sign or the wonder. And what we see over and over, Jesus warns against that kind of shallow faith. And he says, sign and wonders-based faith will evaporate as soon as the sign fades. So don't be this guy, don't be this girl. Make sure you are connected to him, to the source, and not to the experience. The experiences are wonderful. It's kind of like infatuation when you first fall in love. Most sociologists, psychologists will say that'll last about 6 to 24 months. And there better be something more substantial to hold that relationship together, or else adios, right? Nobody's going to hang around. The infatuation period is just a short... If you feel, but there ought to be commitment and there ought to be, I'm going to serve and love you anyway. And when we begin to serve, Jesus says, where you put your treasure, there your heart will be also. It's amazing how when you invest in someone, you care about them, you serve them, you will continue to feel for them and love them. You can't wait for the feeling to come and catch up with you. It makes me crazy when people say, well, I've just fallen out of love. You know what you've told me? You've stopped serving. You've stopped doing the stuff you used to do. Now you don't feel the way you used to feel. And we do the same thing with God. And it's so important. Jesus is saying, don't play that game with God. It's so easy to fall into that trap. And what he's calling us to do instead is to put our faith in his word, in his unchanging, immutable, undisappointing, undiluted. It's not going to move away from you. His word, the word of God, that we can trust it. And the more we come to know God's word, we come to know God. And as we make it a bigger part of our life, we really begin to discover more about who he is, and our faith will begin to grow commensurate with our understanding of what he actually has said to us. What are his promises to us that we just maybe never got because we never read them? Or we heard someone else talk about them, and we see them claiming the promises, and we go, wow, I wish I had faith like that. You know how they got it? Hard work. They traveled the 20 miles. They walked. They got out, and they put in the work. They put the time in. God, I'm trusting your word. I'm trusting you. I'm encouraging you today. Let that be a part of your journey as well. Because we see there's a process, there's a journey to even how this father, this official, grew in his faith. Notice how the father, faith grew and matured. There were steps that he went through. First, that he believed in enough to travel 20 miles to ask for help. He humbles himself. He goes to Jesus. Your Lord, I need your help. And this might be where you are today. It's time to say, I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to hope and put my faith in you. And then the second step goes right with it. Second, he believed Jesus' word and acted on it. He was willing to put faith in action. I'm going to travel all the way back home, and I'm going to do just what you said, Jesus. And finally, he led others to Jesus. His whole household believed in Jesus. This was a progression. First, he came and asked for help. Then he heard the word that addressed the need in his life. He puts it into practice, and then he understands, the next thing I need to do is help other girls and guys. I need to help other men and women, other boys and girls, to help them find what I have found in Jesus Christ. This is so incredibly important. I want you to notice here that he did steps 1 and 2 before any kind of miracle, divine intervention, any kind of manifestation of God's power showed up in his life. He was already putting it into practice. This is remarkable. Because as far as we know, before this day, he had no relative faith in Jesus at all. He just showed up and decided, I'm going to place faith in him. And we can do the same thing. You see, faith matures as you use it. Faith matures as you use it. And what Jesus was constantly trying to get people to do is to understand that mature faith, faith that goes from shallow to mature, is the faith that goes from signs and wonders and experiences to trusting the word of Jesus. You see, Jesus did miracles knowing that when he did those miracles, it would cause people to trust. But he also understood that faith that was based just on miracles would not last. If they did not begin to trust his word, they would not last long. And that they needed to begin to trust deeper. Even in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells the parable. He says, listen, you know, there's this wise man who built his house on the rock. And that represents all of those who hear these words of mine and they put them into practice. And then there's this fool who built his house on the sand and the house collapsed in on itself. And that's the fool who listened to the words. Man, they were at church all the time, took awesome notes. They had notebooks full of notes, but they rarely ever applied it. And everything fell in on itself. Listen to my word. Put it into practice. It's so important. And over in John chapter 14, Jesus reiterates this again, where he says this. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Let's say this together. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does this work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. You see, to Jesus, what was superior to the work, he's saying at least believe the work, at least believe the miracles I'm doing, but the better thing is to believe my words. Trust my word. This is mature faith. This is immature faith. I want you to move from here up to here. This is the progression I'm hoping that you will gain, and you'll begin to trust me. Make it a bigger part of your life. Believe, trust, pray to me. Pray my word to me. It's important. So the question I want to ask you today is, what is the next step for your faith to mature for you today? If we just follow the progression of this father, this official, this Roman official, and begin to ask, where am I in that spectrum? And maybe you're at multiple points. Maybe there's several different places that you need to move forward. But the first thing that he did is he went and asked Jesus to help him. Maybe there's some area of your life that you've been holding off. You know you need to ask for help. Maybe you don't want to ask because you already know what he's going to say. You already know what you need to do. You just haven't done it. Now, for many people, they don't need someone to make them feel guilty or convicted about a relationship in their life or about a behavior in their life. They already know it's wrong. They just haven't trusted God enough to say, it's time for me to stop this, or it's time for me to start this, to adopt a different behavior, to start to trust God. And here's the next step. Believe Jesus can change your circumstance and act on it. One of the best pieces of advice that my wife Leslie and I were given years ago was do the next right thing. What whenever you feel stalled out, you're not real sure, what is that next thing I need to do? Pray and ask God, what is the next right thing? Well, I probably should forgive this guy. I should probably just keep showing up for work and doing my best, even though I kind of hate this job. I need to show kindness to this person that's been ugly to me. What is the next right thing that you need to do? What is the next right thing you need to give up? Like, you already know, you need to quit that. And here's something else you need to adopt. You need to start doing this. You need to start spending time with God every day. It's been very intermittent at best, maybe non-existent altogether, and you wonder why your faith feels cold and you live from experience to experience because you have no personal intimacy with God. There's no time for it. Just like with any relationship, you could never expect to be close with another human being if you never spent time with them. You've got to make it a priority. We always make a priority of things that wind up on our schedule. And I would just encourage you, put it on your schedule, put it in your day that you spend time with him to begin to trust him to change your circumstance and act on it. And finally, number three is lead others to Jesus. Who else has God put in your life that he would like you to engage in a conversation or even just extend an invitation to them to come with you to church or to be a part of an experience or just a conversation over coffee or over what is God telling you? Here's the next step I would like for you to do. Here's the next thing I want you to do. Where is it that God's saying it's time to take the next step towards maturity? Now today, I want to ask you to pray a commitment prayer with me right now. It kind of brings all of this together in one prayer. It's simply saying, Jesus, I commit to believe your word regardless of my circumstances or how I'm feeling, even if I'm not feeling it in the moment. I commit to the next step to mature faith. And for some of you, the next step to mature faith is beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just saying, I'm ready. I'm going to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin and to be the Lord over my life, just like that father did, just like that Roman officer. I'm going to trust him as Lord, and I'm going to follow what he has to say. And maybe that's the next step for you. Or maybe it's trusting him with an area of your life that has just constantly been a source of frustration and difficulty and heartbreak, and it's time for you to surrender this to him. Or a relationship that you know that's been wrong or bad. It's been just ungodly. It's been horrible. It's been hard on you. You're heartbroken over it because you know we shouldn't be doing this. This shouldn't be happening. But it is, and it's time to trust him. Would you be willing to trust him with that next step? Right now, I'd like to ask you, if you would, bow with me in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to show us what is that next step he wants us to take starting right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you, God, that today is the day where we can come before you and say, Lord, we need your help. Right now, all across this room, you would just be willing to say, I need the Lord's help. And I'm willing to trust you, Jesus. Trust your word. Put it into application. And even to reach out to others to begin to lead them to you too. To invite them with me to church. To invite them with me to participate. Invite them into a conversation with me. But right now, all across this room, it may be that God is saying, it's time for you. Come on, let's go to the deep end. I want you to trust me. You can feel it. It's scary. It's difficult. And maybe you have been you've been reluctant to follow him to the deep end. If you're really honest, you have just stayed bouncing around in the shallows because you're unwilling to come out where you can't touch and all you have is him. Would you be willing today to say, Jesus, yes, I'm going to trust you. Yes, I'm going to follow you into the deep. I'm going to trust you with the things I don't understand. Because there are times there are going to be things happen in our life we just can't explain. We can't fully understand them. But we serve a God who can and will help us through those times. And right now, all across this room, if you know that God is telling you, trust me, hold on to my hand, and we're going to go into the deeper waters. And you're willing to say, yes, I will follow you there, Jesus. Would you just lift your hand right now? I want to pray for you. Yes, I'm willing to follow you there. Lord Jesus, right now, for those all across this room that are expressing such faith and such courage right now, I pray that you would give them, Lord, fill their heart, Lord, with faith, knowing that you've got them. Even if they don't feel it at the time, even if there aren't signs and wonders, and there's this crescendo of emotional experiences are not happening right at that moment, that's okay. This is just immaturity leaving and maturity beginning to set in and grow us deeper. I pray we would trust you anyway. We would trust you with our kids. We trust you with our marriages. We trust you with our finances. Begin to be more generous, maybe tithing for the very first time, really taking that next step with our trusting you with our careers and our futures. Whatever that looks like for you, would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. And I'm willing to begin to live as though it's true, even though I don't see or feel anything yet. You may lower your hands. And Lord, I pray for those right now in this room that would honestly say, I want a relationship with God, but I have never begun it. I've never started it. And if that's you, I want to help you right now to pray and ask Christ to become your Savior and Lord. Would you pray right where you sit just to say, Jesus, forgive all my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. And I will follow you as my Lord from this day forward, that you may be my Savior and my Lord. If you just prayed that for the first time, asking Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, would you just boldly, as an act of faith, lift your hand saying, Will, that's me. I've asked Christ to take over. Up there in the balcony, I see you right now. God bless you. Anybody else? Giving it all over to Jesus. Anybody else? Trusting you, Lord. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for looking after us. Thank you for the challenge that your word is to us today. We still live in a day where we tend to ride the waves of emotion up and down, and we let that dictate whether we're going to be faithful, whether we're going to worship, whether we're going to spend time with God. Lord, may we move to a more mature place and say, no more am I going to let signs and wonders, experiences and emotions dictate my faith commitment. I'm going to decide that up front. We love you, Lord. We pray all of this in the amazing name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Those of you who made decisions for Christ, we have a special gift for you at our Welcome Center. We'll see you back next weekend. Bring somebody with you. God bless you. Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the Brazos Valley, we would love for you to engage with us at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, visit us at brazosfellowship.com. That's brazosfellowship.com.